Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that each week you take the time to listen to these messages. Here at the Seed, it's our prayer, it's our mission that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Many of you I know can't, so you can always join our live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. If you miss those, you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch any of our services or just our weekly messages, our sermons, or children's messages. We want you to grow in Christ. So our YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. Well, this week, we're beginning a little sermon series, and we're going to look at the Holy Spirit has just put it on my heart to look at the miracles that Jesus did in the New Testament. We're going to use the Gospel of John. Who here needs a miracle? Who listening needs a miracle? Who here believes in miracles? Who here has had a miracle? I've titled this series The Miracle Man or The Miracles for You. I don't know about you, but it's time for some miracles here around planet Earth, around our church, around our workplaces. Did you know that Thomas Jefferson had a profound appreciation for Jesus? However, because of his education that he received at William Mary College, it turned him into a child of the Enlightenment. That is, Jefferson made reason and logic Lord and not Jesus. In February of 1804, Jefferson took his Bible and began cutting out all the miracles of Jesus. He used a razor blade to cut out his favorite passages of Jesus and pasted them in a double column sheet. He ended up with 48 sheets of Jesus' teaching without any miracles. Jesus deleted the virgin birth, the resurrection, and every other supernatural miracle that happened in between the birth of Christ and his death. When it came to the Gospel of John, Jefferson kept his blade busy. He kept the story of Jesus' healing the man's withered hand on the Sabbath, except for the man's hand remained unhealed. In Jefferson's Bible, the Gospel of John ends with the stone rolled in front of the tomb. Jesus died on the cross, but never rose from the dead. Wow. Do you know anyone who lives their life as if the stone is still rolled in front of the tomb? Or who tells you miracles were for 33 AD and that they stopped with Jesus? That there's no such thing as modern-day miracles. When we subtract the miracles from the gospel, like Thomas Jefferson did, we are left with a wonderful, wise, weak Jesus. I wonder how many people today feel like Thomas Jefferson. Jesus is kind, he's compassionate, but missing in action. Jesus was for yesterday. It's different today. The Google Dictionary defines a miracle, quote, a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of divine agency. Webster defines a miracle this way, quote, an unusual or wonderful event that is believed to be caused by the power of God, end of quote. An unusual or wonderful event that is believed to be caused by the power of God. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at some of the miracles in the Gospel of John. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, every now and then a man's mind is stretched by a new idea or sensation and never shrinks back to its former dimension, end of quote. The miracles of Jesus are more than just facts. I believe they show us what Jesus did in the past, and they show us what Jesus wants to do in our life today. Jesus is the original miracle man. Well, let's get started. Before we turn to our gospel, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to your throne of grace today. You're a God of all grace, mercy, and miracles. We come today to receive your miracle of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of us. Amen. John chapter 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding, and when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants had known, the steward called the bridegroom and said to them, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Did I mention that there are seven miracles recorded in the Gospel of John? Four of them are unique to John. Have you ever stopped to wonder why some of the writers of the Bible included some stories and miracles and not others? Why does John record four miracles that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not record? I believe one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever gave us is the miracle of forgiveness of sins when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. The other greatest miracle of Jesus is the offer of salvation and eternal life. Just those two miracles alone are two miracles we can enjoy each and every day, every hour, every minute. Who here listening today needs forgiveness? All we need to do is ask God to forgive us, and in turn, we turn from our sins, and we are forgiven and set free. This week, I spoke with a man who failed miserably in his life, and he heard anew about the forgiveness of sins found in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness we receive when we turn back to Jesus and confess our sins. This is so powerful that it brings the dead back to life and heals broken hearts. My friend was brought back to life this week when he heard that he hadn't gone too far for Jesus to disown him. Instead, my friend came back to life as he heard that he was forgiven and that eternal life was still his. He had not out-sinned God. So who here listening today needs to know that they have eternal life? It is simple. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Romans 10:9. We could spend a lot of time today looking at the chronology of what John means by the third day. We could wrestle with the meaning of Mary's request, "Do whatever he tells you." We could talk about Jesus' response to Mary, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not come." We could discuss why Jesus was at the wedding in the first place. Have you ever been to Wald Drug, South Dakota? Thousands of miles before you ever get to Wald Drug, you start seeing signs along the interstate that say, "Wald Drug, 1,400 miles to Wald Drug." As you travel, those signs are posted all over. In fact, in Round Rock, Texas, where I pastored for a season, there was a restaurant that had a sign that gave you the distance to Wald Drug. Have you ever actually been to Wald Drug? I have. I brought a caravan of 30 teenagers on a mission trip to Wald Drug. You know what is there? A drugstore where you can get a glass of cold water. What I would like to do today is give you more than just a glass or a cup of cold water. I'd like to give you your cup overflow with joy. For you have more than enough in your everyday needs and experiences. We will take a quick look at a few of the signposts that point us to God in John chapter 2. these miraculous signposts that reveal God's glory so we can believe. Signpost number one, Jesus brings joy. Wherever Jesus went, there was life and joy. He stated that his life mission was that his joy might be in us and that our joy might be complete. John 15:11. Jesus offers the wine of joy to all those who are thirsty for life, those who will come and drink. Jesus has come to bring his joy, and there is joy everywhere in our world if only our eyes are open to see and our heart is ready to receive. Jesus has come to share his joy with you and me. And that's not just a fleeting joy, it's a complete joy. Jesus brings joy. Do you believe that? Signpost number two, Jesus cares about our everyday needs. In our story of the wedding feast, we are shown how Jesus cares about our everyday needs. Jesus cares about the bridegroom's parents being unnecessarily embarrassed. Apparently, Jesus cares about people enjoying themselves. I think Jesus is the kind of person we would want at our party. He knows how to have a good time. He takes care of our needs, both great and small. Jesus is just as concerned about the little problems in our life as he is with the big problems. We are told in Scripture that God keeps track of the number of hairs on our head. God calls the stars by name. Jesus is a great God who is concerned about the everyday needs of our life. Signpost number three. Jesus transforms our daily experiences. He did not just come to give us information. Jesus comes to give us transformation. Jesus changes everything. He has a way of taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary. He did not come to bring new ideas. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team at The Seed loves to pray. And if you have a prayer concern, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayer. Our prayer team will pray for you. If you'd like a response, just mark it there, or you can email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, and I'll respond to you. Listen, Jesus did not come to give us information. He came to give us transformation. Jesus changes everything. He takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. He did not come to bring us new ideas. He came to make us new people. Water did not just appear to be wine, it was transformed into wine, and the very best of wine. Some people have trouble believing this kind of miracle. Could it be that our minds can't really grasp how big our God truly is? What Jesus did to the water, transforming it into wine, is the same kind of transformation Jesus wants to do in you and me. Our God is in the transformation business. God is in the transformation business. Jesus is in the transformation business. The Holy Spirit is in the transformation business. The world wants us to get a new hairdo or a new wardrobe. Society wants us to get a better job or a better education. People want us to lose weight or lift our faces. Jesus does not want to change our looks. Jesus wants to change our hearts. Jesus does not want to give us a new suit. Jesus wants to make us a new person. Jesus does not want to rearrange us. Jesus wants to transform us. Most of us want to look better on the outside. Jesus wants us to be better on the inside. When Jesus changed the water into wine, he did not just change the color of the water and fool the people's taste buds. He actually changed the water into wine. When the water was turned into wine, the shame of the bridal party was turned to joy. The mood of the party was transformed. Jesus' disciples were transformed. The Bible says he revealed his glory and his disciples put their faith in him. Put yourself in this story. We've just been picked by Jesus to follow him. We've left our boats and we're at a family wedding of Jesus. They've run out of wine. We're all staring at each other what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do about Peter, Andrew, Nathaniel, James, John? And they're all thinking, I left my boat for this. And her mom. Mom finds Jesus and has a few words with him. Jesus has a few words with mom. Evidently, John was eavesdropping because he recorded a conversation. Jesus, do something. Mom, it's not my time. Mom to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. And she's off. We're there. We're looking from Mary to Jesus, to each other, to the servants. Somebody do something is the cry of our hearts. And then Jesus tells the servants to fill the empty stone jars with regular water. And they do. And when the 30-gallon stone jar is full, he tells the head guy to bring a sample of the wine to the master. And it is declared that it is not just good wine, but it's the best wine. Oh, my goodness. Don't miss this. We're still pretty new at our job, but don't miss this. Jesus turned empty stone jars into jars that held the best wine in the world. Perhaps there's a miracle in there for us here. Signpost number 4, Jesus gives more than enough. There is no limit to Jesus' grace. What Jesus gives is never just enough. It is always more than enough, with plenty left over. There were 6 jars containing between 30 gallons, or at the very least, the jars contained 180 gallons of wine. That's a lot of wine. Why did Jesus give so much? Because Jesus is an extravagant giver. He never gives us just enough. He always gives super abundantly, abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. What the guest had tasted cautiously before, they now drank in abundance. This is the same thing Jesus did when he fed the multitudes. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish so that 5,000 men and their families were fed. That's close to maybe 10 or 15,000 people. When everyone had eaten their fill, 12 baskets of bread and fish were left over. Jesus had given them more than they could possibly eat. And here Jesus gives them more than they could possibly drink. This is the way God gives, more than enough. Later in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." John 10:10, one of my favorite passages. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and life abundantly." We have an extravagant God who lavishes us with more than enough blessings. God's grace means that God is generous to the fault. This means that you can ask him for anything. The Bible says he gives immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, Ephesians 3:20. So what do you need today? What do you need right now? What do you need tomorrow? What do you need the next day? Mary needed Jesus to do a miracle, so she asked. The miracle man Jesus is waiting for us to ask. Have you ever considered the crash of U.S. Air Flight 1549 in the Hudson River on January 15, 2009, and the amazing rescue in the Hudson River? All 155 people on board were rescued by nearby boats with only a few serious injuries. The water landing of a powerless jetliner with no death became known as the Miracle on the Hudson. The National Transportation Safety Board described it as, quote, the most successful ditching in aviation history. Picture this. The Airbus 320 is taking off at an angle, maybe 30 degrees. It's not flying horizontal with the earth. Not only that, it is flying fast, not full speed, but perhaps 4 times as fast as your car would go on the highway. The geese are flying horizontally with the ground, more or less. They are not flying in a cloud like a swarm of bees. They fly level with the ground, often shaped in a V. In fact, all of that said, what are the odds that traveling at this speed and at this angle, the airplane would intersect with a flight of these geese at the very millisecond, which would put a bird not just in one of those engines, but both of them? The laser-guided missiles would not have been so amazingly effective as were these geese. It is incredible. Statistically speaking, if God governs nature down to the fall and the flight of every bird, as Jesus says, Matthew 10:29, well, then the crash of flight 1549, well, it was designed by God. Which leads us to the landing in the Hudson River, which is just as unlikely. The Airbus now has no thrust in either engine, The flight attendant said it was quiet as a library on the plane without the sound of the engines. The plane is now a 77-ton glider with its belly full of fuel. Captain Sullenberger decides to land in the river. Anywhere else would have meant, would have meant a fireball. He banks and misses the George Washington Bridge by 900 feet and glides the plane into a perfect belly landing. A few degrees tilted to the front or the back or to the right or to the left of the plane would have done cartwheels down the river and broken up on that water. The flight attendant does not let passengers open the rear door. That would have flooded the cabin too fast. The emergency doors and front doors provided exits for people on the plane. Floats long enough to all of them to climb out. Ferry boats are there almost instantly. The captain walks the aisles twice to make sure everyone's off. Then he leaves. Later, the plane sinks. Friends, this landing on the Hudson is a miracle. And just like Jesus turned the water into wine, comprehending what happened on that flight is miraculous too. So what? So what? How do we apply this passage to us today? Do you believe Jesus is the miracle man? A God man? The God man who causes wonderful events that are caused by the power of God? I think Captain Sully does. I think every person on that flight believes it. Do you believe that Jesus brings joy? Do you believe God cares about your everyday needs? Do you believe Jesus can supply superabundantly more than enough for you? Are you willing to allow Jesus to transform your daily experiences? Actually, are you willing for Jesus to transform you? Wow, think about that. It's interesting that Jesus waited until their resources had run dry before he performed a water into wine miracle. Only when the people came to the end of their supply were they ready to receive what Jesus had to give. In an article by John Piper entitled "The Present Power of the Future Possession," he wrote these profound words: "The cost of food in the kingdom is hunger for the bread of life instead of the white bread of the world. Do you want it? Are you hungry? Or are you satisfied with yourself and your television and your computer and your job and your family?" I believe that is the so what for us today. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Do we want something more than this world dares to offer? We have the opportunity to come to worship every week. We have the opportunity every day to open God's love letter and read about His joy and amazing love. It is a book of joy. It is a book of transformation. It is a book of exceeding abundance. So why don't we open the Bible? When we come to Jesus, we can come the right place, for Jesus is the God of abundance and life. He gives extravagantly. To receive what He wants to give us, we have to come and be thirsty. Lesson one for our series of the Miracle Man: come thirsty and ask away. Oh, let's pray. Lord, we come today not because we are worthy or deserve it. We come broken and with contrite heart, seeking to be filled to overflowing with Your grace and love and forgiveness. We come to hear the soft sound of the sandaled feet of the Messiah to meet our everyday needs, who wants to transform us and fill us to overflowing with His love, grace, mercy, and joy. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit, and transform our ordinary lives into extraordinary miracles. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. See you next week. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you. and so do we.